Vision.com today.
Every America tonight, we go inside the Beltway to see what's happening in Washington. Hopefully something's happening. Will there be a shutdown? We talked about it for weeks now. We've been talking about it. It seems like we've been talking about it for months. 6 months we haven't had a budget. Will there be another extension? I heard that's like a no way. What's the latest between the Republicans and the Democrats? What's the goings on there? Victoria Jones from Talk Radio News joins us. Victoria, a lot of mudslinging going on, a lot of tug of war. What's happening?
Well, if things were starting to look sort of okay-ish, and then the president invited Speaker Boehner, Senate Majority Leader Reid, Representative Hal Rogers, and Senator Inouye to come over to the White House tomorrow morning for a meeting, sit down, talk, thrash things out. And then, well, then the Republican leadership in the House just sort of went off and started sending out these sniping press releases. Speaker Boehner, he sent out a peach. It's become sadly evident to me and to the American people that the White House and Senate Democrats are just not serious yet about enacting real spending cuts. If the government shuts down, it will be because Senate Democrats failed to do their job. He also used this phrase, smoke and mirrors. Basically, he's saying that $33 million is not the figure and isn't enough.
Wow. So now what are the odds that there might be a government shutdown? Do you think this is more back and forth, and then by the time we get to the end of the week, something will happen? Or now do you think the ante's been up, Victoria, that we might have a shutdown?
You know, it's almost impossible to tell who's playing what game here. But whatever they're playing, it's a really rough game. It's starting to look like there could be a shutdown. I mean, even if they're playing by the rules and they make a deal, in theory it has to be posted online for 72 hours under the House Republicans' new rules. So that would still get them to Friday, and that's before they even get to the Senate. So then they would have to have a shutdown at least over the weekend. But they're not looking like they want to deal, and they still haven't dealt with the riders. 41 Democratic senators signed a letter today saying that they would not go for defunding Planned Parenthood. Well, that's enough to stop that getting through the Senate.
Oh, it is getting interesting. I think, just like you, I think in watching this, now it becomes more apparent there may be a shutdown. Stay tuned. More coming up, I'm sure, later this week. The president decides what he's going to try again for 2012. That's not a surprise, but that still made big news. What's the scoop there?
Well, it made big news. It came out around 5 o'clock this morning with a video and emails and then later on text to his followers. And basically, I think he's getting out ahead because he needs the money. It's going to cost about $1 billion. And so he, of course, was immediately criticized by Republicans for announcing so early in the middle of all the things that are going on. I'm not quite sure, editorializing here, when he's supposed to wait, presumably for when there's a desert of news. But nevertheless, he was criticized for that. But it's interesting because I'm wondering whether that's going to speed up some Republicans getting in the race, because some of them are starting to be talking about leaving it quite late, almost too late in terms of raising money themselves.
Wow. All right, so the video's out. We're going to let everybody hear, too. We've got a copy of that. We're going to let everybody hear what it sounded like anyway later on ATN. Eric Holder has a press conference to talk about the about-face as far as the military trials at Gitmo and a lot of that surrounding Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. What was the reaction to this coming out of Washington?
Yeah, we heard about it before that, and Jay Carney, the press secretary, talked about it a bit but wouldn't get ahead of Eric Holder's remarks. Well, Holder was obviously kind of ticked off, actually. He announced that Mohammed will be tried by a military commission, not in a federal court. But he made it very clear that as far as he's concerned, he could be tried in a federal court. He believes he has an incredibly strong case. That he didn't say he'd get a conviction, but he believes he has an incredibly strong case. He knows the case backwards and forwards. And he said that Congress's intervention was unwise and unwarranted. And he's referring, of course, to Congress basically stopping funding for the federal trials and stopping them from being able to move any of these detainees to the U.S. And he said this is an executive branch decision. This is not legislative branch. And he said at one point, I know this case better than members of Congress. I know this case. They don't. He was quite ticked off. But he said this is about justice for the victims and their families. And while we're going to continue to fight this, in the meantime, we want to get this done.
All right. So we'll be talking about that, too, on America Tonight. And you also want to tell us about a big Supreme Court decision. What happened?
Very interesting. It was a 7-2 decision, which was quite a lot, written by Justice Clarence Thomas. Basically, when a federal court hears an appeal from a death row inmate, the federal court is not allowed to consider new evidence. So,
wow.
Yes. So there's a guy who's on death row, and he's staying there. Basically, this guy twice appealed all the way up to the California Supreme Court, arguing that his court-appointed lawyers failed to present mitigating evidence about possible mental illness during the penalty phase of his trial. Only after he appealed to the federal court system did he introduce statements from a psychiatrist and school records suggesting some degree of brain damage. And seven justices said the federal court should not have considered the new evidence, and also said, that was the answer. Now, Justice Sonia Sotomayor is the only justice who served as a trial court judge. And she dissented and wrote a lengthy dissent and said that it's already difficult enough for prisoners to present evidence in federal appeals and that there are good reasons for a federal court to hear new evidence.
Wow. Wow, that's gonna have rippling effects, no doubt. I'm glad you brought that up. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News. Once again, as always, thank you so much for joining us on ATN.
Thank you.
All right, one of the things that we were talking about there, and we have been, of course, as I said to Victoria, everybody wants to know, is there going to be a government shutdown, or what's the deal with that? Well, the budget talks are deadlocked. We know that. House Republicans drafted, as she was talking about, a one-week bill. This happened, though, late into the night on Monday to cut spending by $12 billion and fully fund the Pentagon also. So that would stop a government shutdown that's threatened for Friday. They also announced or disclosed, because it's not really a formal announcement, just announced that they're going to tell lawmakers how the House would operate if the Senate Democrats shut down the government. That's interesting, huh? So the House Republicans are focusing on negotiating, and that's what they're doing. And it really upset Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who said that they should focus on really negotiating and not planning for dress rehearsals for a shutdown that the Tea Party so desires. Whoa! He makes no bones about it how much he hates the Tea Party people, though. He said Democrats are committed to negotiating a solution that would prevent a governmental shutdown. Those are his exact words. So we're going to be talking about that, I am certain of it, for the next couple of days. Tick tock, tick tock. Stay with us. President announces that, yes, indeed, he wants to run again. 2012, not a surprise. We'll let you hear his campaign announcement, or at least one of them, one of the commercial spots. That's next here on ATN.
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects, is safe for all ages and skin types, and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled Dermatol.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol. We'll be right back.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Daddy, I'm hungry.
That little girl will get fed, for now. But what if people like Glenn Beck are right about the threats we face? If the U.S. dollar loses its status as the global reserve currency, prices on the things you need most will skyrocket. Food may be unaffordable, or worse, unavailable. Earthquakes, economic turmoil, continuing unemployment, rampant inflation, and even threats of terrorism are all reasons to let the experts at Ready Reserve Foods help you with a long-term food storage plan. Ready Reserve Foods has been a premier supplier of long-term storage foods for 37 years. Their unique process assures the highest quality long-term food storage available worldwide. Their products have a shelf life of 25 years, and a year's supply of quality food for two people only takes up about as much space as a refrigerator for a fraction of what you now pay at the grocery store. You owe it to your family to find out more from Ready Reserve Foods. Call today for their free full-color catalog at 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
Welcome to America Tonight, Cajun Ladies, my name, coast to coast, and everywhere else that we're flying about outside of our borders, too. Howdy to all the people in Australia, Jack Down Under, what a cute son you have, a shout-out to you, and also to Christina in Sweden and the crew in Spain. But wherever you hail from, on this show it's about water cooler buzz. Your opinion counts. I don't care about your political stripes. Right of right, left of left, whatever proclamation you want to declare each and every day in front of the mirror, that's all good. But it's about where we're headed in this country, which is why we started America Tonight, the lack of action. And here it is at work once again, stopgap, stalemates. It's ridiculous. So the House is talking about a third stopgap bill trying to avoid a government shutdown. Who knows what the Senate will do? Already the Senate Democrats blaming the Republicans. If you want to throw in your two cents, you know you're always welcome to do that at 800-259-5791. All right, I said that Obama, his people have already prepared campaign announcements. So he's not the voice of change anymore because he'll be 2012, that's his first term he's done, and he's trying to embark on a second term. If he were to win re-election, we would have had three presidents who serve back-to-back terms. With what's happening in Washington, it is kind of a curious time to announce, but when's he going to dive in? So he's not concerned. I don't think the people around the president, because that's really their gig, they're more concerned about the money they have to raise, and there's a big fundraiser on the 14th, so they want to get this out there and done. That's what I believe. Here's what one of the spots that is already being pumped out and played around the country, here's what one of them sounded like. Take a listen.
Well, it seems like the last couple of elections that we've had have been almost kind of turning point campaigns.
Kind of nervous about it. It's like it's coming. Here it is, 2012, the election.
I think it needs to reflect the changes that we've seen in the last 2.5 years. Then we had an underdog senator. You know, nobody thought that he had a chance. And now he's the president.
I just saw the energy and hope that he had for this country. But even though I couldn't exactly vote at the time, I knew that someday I'd be able to help reelect him. And that's what I plan on doing.
We're not leaving it up to chance. We're not leaving it up to, oh, you know, the incumbent. The type of thing is an election that we have to win.
And unfortunately, President Obama is one person. He cannot go. Plus, he got a job. You know, we're paying him to do a job, so we can't say, hey, could you just take some time off and come and get us all energized? So we better figure it out.
I can't not be involved. There's just too much that is fundamentally important right now that's going on.
As a community, we all have the same concerns. We all want our kids to go to school and learn. We want them to graduate. We want jobs to be out there. We want people to have homes. We want people to have opportunity.
I don't agree with Obama on everything, but I respect him and I trust him.
There are so many things that are still on the table that need to be addressed, and we want them to be addressed by President Obama.
I had this perception that politics was all show, it was all sound bites, but politics is how we govern ourselves. That's what politics is. It's not the grassroots level. It's individuals talking to other individuals and making a difference.
All right, so you get the gist there, obviously. We let it roll so you know, it was about 2 minutes long, so you could get a sense of where they're headed with this campaign. You heard the one man say, I don't agree with everything that he says, but I respect him, and et cetera, et cetera. And the idea is here, I think, is to present him as this humble kind of character. Okay, you know, here's where we're headed, and everything's not perfect, but he's the right guy. Oh, shucks, he's kind of the right guy. Right now, if I were handicapping this election, and I've said this many times on the air, as many of you who are disenfranchised and call the show and say, oh, impeachment for this, or how can he do this, and not talking to Congress about really what is war, if you look at the Libyan situation, and a plethora of other examples, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is somebody has to be strong enough to unseat an incumbent president. Now, having said that, one thing that Obama has to deal with is the economy. The economy's not terrific. It's an ailing economy, to say the least, and I think the foreclosures are going to get that much worse. Whenever you hear about what's happening in the housing industry, if you hear a lot of positive news, take it with a grain of salt. Trust me, eyeballing this thing, there's no way. There's so many more shoes to drop when it comes to the foreclosures and the rippling effects of those brutal subprime loans. It's still touching us. It's still reaching us. And remember, you have to wind the clock back to 2008. So there was no public statement from the White House. Instead, it was an email that was sent to millions of supporters, people who voted for Obama the first time around or clearly are supporting him. And the clips that you heard, you know, a family in a kitchen, an American flag, if I flush it out a little bit more for you, a church, a farm, all that kind of stuff. So real life people and ultimately their faith in Obama. Who can unseat this guy? Who can unseat an incumbent president? See, it's sort of like the benefits and the baggage that you carry when you're the guy in the Oval Office, because he's already there. He's the established person. It's not so easy to get rid of the incumbent. If something really tanks, I mean, the economy, gas prices, everything related to money, certainly even with the budget deficits, teachers feeling that they're getting screwed with this whole union situation from Wisconsin to a slew of other states, Ohio, et cetera. But do those people not vote for Obama? Of course they're going to vote for Obama, because that doesn't trickle to him. That has to do with unions, and then the spin is, well, that's about the Republicans, and this is why we lost out here. What about health insurance? What about Wall Street? What about Gitmo? Voters are going to, I think, look at that. Somebody who is in between, somebody who's in the in-between, like I like to call independent, let's say independent, you're just voting on what's going on. They're the people that normally can be swayed easily to the Democratic side. So 2011, who trumps the president? Donald Trump is somebody who might want to carry that mantle, who might want to be the Republican candidate, but how serious is that and what kind of a run can he make? The person that everybody seems to like right now, he has not declared, no exploratory deal, nothing at this point, is Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey. But there are plenty of people that could complain about Christie and say they don't like some of the things that have happened in Jersey. And, yes, he's a straight talker, but here's some of what you don't know that we don't like that's happening in our state. Now, there is a new 2012 poll that's out. And this one, done by Fox, came out on Monday morning and showed that if the real estate billionaire who's brash is considering a run for president in the Republican side of things, which he would be, there's obviously, and he's sort of talking to some political advisors, that he would have a favorable rating in the poll. He would show up pretty high. But this is just preliminary results. Newsmax is doing a poll. They have an ongoing thing. And we'll see in the next couple of days how that all flushes out. So he's not a stone cold favorite at this point, but he's somebody that's starting to be talked about. He does have FaceTime on TV, and FaceTime matters. The more you're out there, I mean, we are a country of celebrities. When somebody named Snooki can get $32,000 to give a little bit of a speech at Rutgers University, she has no degree, and I don't know, not for nothing, what are her skills, but hey, bravo, she's able to command that kind of money. What are people thinking when they go to vote? Maybe Trump would actually get enough of those people. I'm just saying. All right, coming up on the flip side, we're going to chat with Dennis Wolf. We talked with him once before. He's the guy with the sick solution, the prescription for national health. Wow, he's got a wild story to tell us since the last time we chatted with him about his wife and then really, who knows, a near-death experience. Stay with us.
This is an urgent message. Urgent if you care about feeding your family. S-510 has passed through Congress and will make the sale of heirloom seeds difficult. Prices of non-GMO seeds are skyrocketing and may be hard to afford in the future, if you can even find them. As the economy continues to decline, this will make the heirloom seeds worth their weight in gold and one of the best barter tools available. When food supplies eventually run out, your solution is to grow your own food and barter tool. Now, for a short time, GetSeeds.net offers 100 packets of heirloom non-GMO vegetable seeds for only $59. Pay with 2 ounces of pure silver or just $59. The best price on the net for high-quality seeds. Our GetSeeds.net seeds are open pollinated vegetable seeds sealed in a Mylar bag for long-term storage. Bulk pricing available. So get seeds while you still can at GetSeeds.net or call toll-free 877-341-4769. That's 877-341-4769.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black.
Just talking about President Obama saying that he's going to run again. Not vocally, just through emails and through messages that were sent out across the country. The big thing that he'll hang his hat on will be health care. But that's something that a lot of people say is health care you can't count on. There are so many things that have to fall into place with this Affordable Care Act that haven't really been flushed out, as many of us know. We were in Washington looking at all sides of this thing back in late January. And we've had Dennis Wolf on the show before. As I said, he's the author of The Sick Solution, A Prescription for National Health. And boy, he knows about the health industry and health insurance and what you need to know. We found that out last time. Now he has a personal story to share that I think will really scare many of you that are right now locked and loaded to the show, driving around, sitting in your house, wherever you are listening to it. Pay close attention to this. This is just an incredible story, I think, of survival, the survival of his wife and what a horrific thing happened to her and how she came out on the other side. Dennis, thanks for coming back on America Tonight.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Kate.
But first, let's set this up. What, you were just at a football game, your beloved 49ers. You're going to see the 49ers, and then you got a great day laid out in front of you. And then tell the audience how it unfolded into probably your biggest nightmare.
Well, I was at the game through the third quarter. The game was into the fourth quarter. The Niners, amazingly, were beating the Cardinals. And it was the last game of the year. We clearly weren't going to the playoffs. And all of a sudden, I looked at my watch, and I told Ben, who's an older gentleman with me, and I said, you know, Ben, we got to go. I don't know why, but I got to get home. And he goes, okay, because he doesn't care. He's happy to come to the game. So we walked outside, and the bus, the shuttle bus that takes me back to the area in San Francisco where I parked my car off-site, always sits there for 20 minutes after I get on it. This day it got right. I got on it, and the bus left. I got back to my car because we'd left the game so early. I got on the freeway, and the traffic is always bumper to bumper going back past San Francisco Airport on the way home. It was smoothly sailed right through. I didn't make my normal stops and dilly-dally all the way home and take the long route home. And I took the shortest route home. I dropped Ben off. I walked into the door. I was really happy because I made it home. I told my wife I'd be home by 5:30, and I looked at the clock earlier, like I said, and I said, I think I'll be okay. I'll make it. I'll make her happy. Well, I was a few minutes late. I walked in the door, and I see the burners are on. She's cooking dinner. There's a ham in the oven. We got company coming over in half an hour. And I don't see her. I walk around through the family room off to the side, and I go to the master bedroom door, and she was just in the process of losing her grip and falling over, and I instantly knew was a stroke.
Mm.
And, I mean, you could not have – there is no timing other than to define that as God's timing that brought me home right then in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I should tell the audience I do have 3 years of study of neurological sciences. I have a minor in bioorganic chemistry, so I'm pretty well knowledgeable. And I recognized right away it wasn't a heart attack, and I knew it was a stroke. She has a family history, so the odds were pretty clear that they were in that favor. I then made what had to be another amazing decision, and that was that 9-to-1 odds you always give a stroke victim aspirin, just as you give a heart attack victim aspirin. The logic behind the stroke victim is that you want to give them aspirin to reduce the possibility of the clot or lessening the clot, because usually 9 strokes out of 10 are clot strokes, ischemic strokes. I did not give her aspirin. I chose not to. I said, I don't think this is a clot. I think this is a blood bleed. And, of course, that was a daring call, but I kind of had a history with her family and worried about her. Called 911, got them on the phone. She kept mumbling. I knew she was becoming incoherent. Got them there within 10 minutes. They had her on oxygen. Within 30, she was in the hospital. Her blood pressure was 260 over 160. They gave her a blood. Mind you, she's a petite Japanese woman, 5'1", about 110 pounds. She did a CAT scan. The doctor came in an hour later and told me that it was a deep brain blood bleed. It was 3 inches, almost 3 inches long by an inch wide, and it was inoperable. There was no way to shut it off, and she would die the night before the night was out. I was still in full faculties. For some reason, I knew the hand of God was with me, and I was solvent in my mind. I was clear. Mm-hmm. I was lucid. Everything was like I said, solvent. Every fact was going through, and everything was dissolving into all the right decisions. And I listened to the doctor. And the doctor said to me, "Well, you know, you should talk to one of the stroke nurses. There's a way to let her pass peacefully." I looked at the doctor and I said, "We're not going to do that, doc." And I said, "As long as she can mumble and that she's coherent in some form or another, as long as she's still in there, I'm not giving up on her."
Let me interrupt you for a second here.
Yeah.
You said put her in ICU. Why do you think they said let her pass peacefully?
Well, that was the next point I was going to go to. And that is a great comment that you brought up and what I alluded to. It is my opinion that, and I've talked to other people since then, that hospitals, not just this hospital, but a lot of hospitals look at the cost of what it was going to take to get her back to life or whatever life she could have. And the cost of letting her pass that night would have been probably less than $5,000. I'll hold off in a second and tell the total charges once we finish the story, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I want her in ICU, and I said, I want her on blood pressure lowering medications. The doctor's looking at me like, who the heck are you? And I said, doctor, I said, can you possibly get the swelling down because it's going to come? And she said, well, we can use, and she named the drug clonidine, and there was another drug, Decadron, and these are heavy-duty steroids that lower blood swelling in the brain. And she said, if they don't work, then the only option is to cut her skull open and allow the pressure to be relieved. Mind you, this all happened January 2nd, just about a week or two before Miss Gifford was tragically shot in Arizona.
Yeah.
So I said put her in there. So then I then sat on a 24/7 vigil. The only time I came home was to sleep for a few hours less restlessly. I stayed with her. I monitored the care. I kept going to the nurse, put her on more carbamazepine, get the doctor's approval. They were jumping, but I was very respectful to them. I have to tell the audience that you got to respect the nurses. They're doing they're doing a great job.
Yeah.
And I was respectful, but I was watching her like a hawk. And every time that blood pressure spiked, I'm over there going, she needs more carbamazepine. By the way, this nicardipine is a toxic drug administered in non-measurable doses. It'll kill you. But they know how to administer it very small doses.
Sure.
10 days later, I'm going to fast forward here. 10 days later, she was out of ICU. She was stable. 10 days after that, she was transported to a acute rehab facility at my request, and I had to work to get all that process done as well. I should also say my wife is on Medicare, actually a Medicare Advantage program through Anthem Blue Cross, and I insisted that the hospital get the approval for the discharge to a rehab facility. The hospital dilly-dallied. I called Anthem, and Anthem had it approved within 15 minutes.
Wow.
And the hospital was stringing me along for 3 days while she stayed there, which I could never figure that out.
Right.
That's a mystery. We'll always be unsolved, Kate. And
wow.
So we got into rehab. 20 days later, she came home on February 10th. That night, we headed right for the sushi bar. She couldn't wait to get some sushi. And on the 11th was her birthday, and we ended up on Half Moon Bay on the overlooking the ocean having their birthday dinner.
Wow.
And tonight she's doing her exercises in the living room. She is 100% recovered. The doctors, all nine doctors involved, looked at me and said, there's no question, it's an absolute miracle. The
wow.
total charges, and I want to say also, prayers really work. We had a prayer chain from all over the country, all over the world, and all faiths, including Islamic faith, Christian faith, Buddhism, Judaism, everything. And the bottom line is the hospital bill was $353,000 for the first 20 days.
Wow.
The rehab facility was another $145,000, just close to $150,000. And then the ancillary charges, doctors, and outpatient therapy and everything else is about another $25,000. So anybody out there can do the math. We're looking at close to a little over five and a half, somewhere in there.
Wow. And you had, of course, you're talking about the coverage. We're speaking with Dennis Wolfe, by the way, author of The Sixth Solution of Prescription for National Health, talking about the harrowing experience of his wife. I mean, there's a lesson in here, and you've talked about the flaws of government-controlled national health insurance, and you still believe that. I'm certain of it. And you've seen it at work now.
Yes, because when we got the adjudication of the bills, the processing of the bills from Anthem, Medicare allowance for my wife's stay in the hospital for 20 days, 10 of which were in intensive care. They had her in a private room in intensive care. That was not at my request, by the way. They felt that's what she needed. So, I mean, again, I worked with them but did not overrule them or try to overrule them. And the bottom line is they allowed, and this is going to stun the listeners out, that people wonder why hospitals are having problems with expenses related to Medicare. They allowed for $353,000, $28,000. Now,
wow.
I did the math. I did the math on my own. And anybody out there who's a minimal bean counter, you've got 24-hour-a-day, highly trained, exceptionally qualified ICU nurses. You've got another 10 days of nurses 24/7 around the clock. You've got room charges. You've got the hospital overhead, the food, the medicine. $28,000 doesn't cut it.
No, $28,000 doesn't come close. Dennis, can you hang through with us and
sure.
we can finish this conversation?
Sure.
Again,
sure.
Dennis Wolfe, author, Sixth Solution, talking about his wife's experience and what you can learn from it. We're going to continue that on the flip side here on America Tonight.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power, regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, oregacillin physician strength capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
Welcome back, folks, and if you just joined us, we're talking to Dennis Wolfe. He's the author of The Sick Solution, a prescription for national health. It's his opinion and my opinion that there's a lot of flaws, obviously, in health care, and now he's seeing firsthand what it's like after his wife had a near-death experience. So when you got those bills and you started to break it down, it just validates what you talk about, doesn't it, Dennis?
Well, it's exactly what the problem is in this country. People are just blindly unaware of just how badly Medicare allowances are, such that hospitals are doing what the government can now back away and say, hey, we didn't do anything. But the fact is the hospitals are under such economic pressure that it's far less expensive to let the person die. The quality of life is no longer there in their mind, so just let them go. And $5,000 expense allowed, $1,000 is far less than I'll only pay in $28,000 on $353,000.
And can you just imagine if somebody in there didn't have some of the knowledge that you had, and they're panicked, they're distraught, they don't know, they hear some mumbling, and they think, well, you know, I believe the doctor, I believe what they're telling me, I think that this is what I'm supposed to do.
That's why I have advocated for 25 years, since I wrote my book, Foretelling of This Day, that unless people become much more proactive in understanding what healthcare is and understanding what they should be learning, how the body functions, why certain drugs do certain things, you don't have the information to challenge a doctor. There's a great commercial on TV that actually does this. It shows someone asking all about their telephone bill and the charges and everything for their mobile phone. Then they go in the doctor's office and the doctor goes, "Do you have any questions for me?" And the person goes, "No." Well, you should be asking questions and challenging the doctor. They practice medicine. They have not perfected medicine. And this is a major flaw in the average person's thinking process when it comes to healthcare.
Yeah. And in looking at now the healthcare overhaul, what do you think it is, Dennis, too, that people don't realize is coming their way soon? I think some of them are going to find that they're going to pay so much for their premiums and they don't even know what they're getting in their healthcare covers. That's what I would say. What would you say?
I would say this is the greatest three-card Monty sleight-of-hand game that the American people have ever seen. They have no clue what's about to hit them. First of all, starting in 2012, every broker, every company has to report all the cost of benefits for every employee. That's never been done before. The groundwork for the reasoning for that is that the IRS is preparing to, and the government will ultimately tax all those benefits as income. So if you're earning $50,000 a year and you have $10,000 of benefits, your taxable income is soon going to be $60,000, even though you didn't have the extra $10,000. Employers are going to drop their plans and say, get your own policy. And the IRS is prepared to audit you and tax you to death if you don't buy a policy, which you can't afford, because the carriers are going to be forced to raise rates through the roof to pay for unregulated costs that the health care providers are going to have to charge, because Medicare is not allowing enough to cover the major cost of expenses, and so they're going to pass that on to the consumer under 65. I mean, you get the drift of where I'm going with this.
Yeah, no kidding. And we talked about that before everything was happening. What would you tell people besides obviously be armed with the knowledge of ask questions when you're at the doctor,
okay,
that kind of stuff. What would you tell people they could do now? What else can they do?
Well, I think right now, in addition to taking the time to educate themselves, they have got to get involved with their congressman. I don't care whether it's Democrat or Republican. Even some Democrats are recognizing what a mess this Obamacare is, Patient Protection Affordable Care Act. Now the more and more information is coming out. And they need to start demanding, why did you pass this legislation? Repeal it. Defund it. There's $105 billion that was disclosed recently. Now we're finding out there were all kinds of subsidies in this thing to keep the states at some reasonable fiscal level for benefit costs for unions, government unions and private unions. This was just a payoff. And they need to ask that this thing be done. There needs to be a demand, but people need to uprise in this country. I don't know really if they're going to do it. They need to, but I'm only one person.
I agree with you. There's certainly a handful of us that are aware of what's happening, and I think, you know, it sounded good, boy. You're busy, Dennis, you're listening, it sounds good. Everybody should have health insurance, and here's what we're going to do, and don't listen to this stuff you're hearing, but then the devil is in the details, don't you think?
Yeah, major details. These details are such fine print, it's like all the people out there that are old enough to remember the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Where he makes everybody signs at the end, he goes da 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 da, you know, and you can't even read the stuff; it's so small. And I think that's what the minutia that is so deep in this legislation. This was never drafted to overhaul the healthcare cost delivery system. It was marketed as reforming healthcare, which is an impossible task because that's not the issue. It's the cost delivery system that needs reformed, not healthcare. And people need to take the time to understand the nomenclature. So the answer to your question is not only do you need to educate yourself about health, your body's health, but you need to take the time to understand how the system currently works. And I know our time is running short, Kate, so let me just leave you with one exclusive here. I'm going to be writing another national article for the Healthcare Reform Magazine. I just had one in their February issue. It's available at healthcarereformmagazine.com. I'm going to write another article, and in that article, and I'll give the exclusive here, I'm going to be introducing the concept of where we need to be going with healthcare cost delivery reform. We need to get the words single payer out of our mind. That is a rationing system that leads to government control of your personal health and life. We need to look at a primary payer, secondary payer, and tertiary payer system, and I'll be defining that in the next time I write this article, but people need to start rethinking how we fund health care costs, not just by the, letting the government do it, because we're the government.
Yeah, absolutely. Bravo. So well said. Dennis, always a pleasure to have you on the show. We're so thrilled for you and your wife that it turned out the way it did. Thank goodness, honestly. And we look forward to our next conversation. Thanks,
well,
Dennis.
Well, maybe we'll do it next year.
Exactly.
whenever we can. And I want to thank your audience for listening, and I really thank you. And God bless everyone. I've been very fortunate. I know that.
All right. You too, Dennis. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Dennis Wolf, Sick Solution, a prescription for national health. You heard what he had to say there. I agree with him. It's in the payment. That's what people, I think, are missing in all of this. And, you know, it's funny he alluded to this, but the Affordable Health Care Act, basically what they did was they paid out $2 billion to the corporations. That's one little-known provision that people didn't realize. The unions, the state employees' systems, they had to subsidize the health care coverage for the retirees. So at that current rate, the government would go through the $5 billion that was budgeted for the program before it's set to even end. The biggest chunk of the money that was paid out went to, like, the United Auto Workers. They got $206 million. AT&T got $140 million. Verizon, $91 million. General Electric, $36 million. General Motors got $19 million. And, of course, state governments also picked up on large chunks of this with the, as I said, the public employees retirement system of Ohio, for example, got $70 million. And the teacher retirement system of Texas got $68 million. So what happened was the discovery by the investigators for the House Energy and Commerce Committee basically made a hearing to focus on this Center for Consumer Information, such a mouthful, Center for Consumer Information and Insurance Oversight. That's part of the Department of Health and Human Services. So they oversee the early retirement reinsurance program, and that was set up to subsidize insurance for workers who retired before they were eligible for Medicare. Because the early retirees have trouble getting health insurance. That makes sense because of their age and any kind of condition they would have. So it's like a gap program. It was set up to bridge the gap between the retirement and the creation of the health care exchanges that don't even start until 2014. But forget about it because the government is already blowing through that money. $2 billion already paid out to corporations, already gone. They're going to go through the $5 billion. I almost fell off my chair when I read the story in the Washington Examiner earlier in the day, but there it is, all laid out for you. Hey, if you have any thoughts on the show, you know where to reach us. All roads lead to AmericaTonight.net. Go to the website, click on the email, and you can send it there, Facebook, Twitter, all that sort of stuff, right there by click of the finger, boom, and you are in. Send us your thoughts.